Everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and I'm very excited for today's guest. I'm here with Rob Cozier. Go ahead and say hi, Rob.
Hello, everybody.
All right, that is a good start. So I wanted to talk to Rob ever since I heard Rob on from ADA Arbitration. He was a guest with Corey Walton. He is the nominee for the Director of City Delivery under the Concerned Letter Carrier's ticket. And I really liked what I heard out of Rob because I was hearing things that I have been railing on for quite a while on Classes of Mail. And as regular listeners, you guys know what some of my values are as a carrier and as a member of the NALC. And Rob was saying stuff that really speaks to my heart. So first of all, Rob is president of Branch 2 in Milwaukee. Rob, I got a dumb question for you. I know that Buffalo is Branch 3. You're Branch 2. What city is Branch 1?
Detroit.
Ah, Detroit. Ah, I knew it. I knew it was somewhere in that Great Lakes area. Okay, cool. All right. Any chance you're going to pass him one day and become the new Branch 1?
Yeah, we should be. We should be.
Yeah,
that's the founding place. So yeah, we should be, though.
Yeah, yeah. You're number one in our hearts, Rob. All right. So let me get into right into what it is that I like about you as a candidate. So you talked on from ADA Arbitration about one of the big things was putting an end to gatekeeping, where we have this system now where you really have to be friends, essentially, with the business agent to get things done, or you have to be friends with your branch president if you want to get additional training. And what that winds up doing is cutting out people who would otherwise be excellent advocates for carriers, excellent grievance handlers, things like that, from getting the training that they need. So as the candidate for the Director of City Delivery, how do you want to address problems like that?
So, you know, I faced this myself when I first became a steward. And I guess I can just real quick.
Yeah,
I started in 2014 as a CCA. A few months after that, I became a steward. And I had to go through the whole gatekeeping nonsense.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to. I mean, one, as a carrier alone, but then two, when you're a steward and you're a brand new steward, you know, I hate that whole having to damn near beg somebody for information. That was horrible. So for me, my perspective is we got to find a way to connect with everybody and make the information that we all have available for people, you know, and I get it. You can never teach experience. There's people that are going to go to their grave with stuff that they know. And there's some really good people out there that will share everything. Then we also know the other perspective where people, terminology is gatekeep. They hold it. I think that they want to feel wanted or feel needed. So what I'm looking forward to is, you know, I would want to bounce some ideas off a lot of people just to see their perspective of what they think, you know, we could do as a whole union. You know, I have ideas, but maybe my ideas aren't that good, you know. So I'm willing to listen to people and try to figure out how we can get people feeling the juice of the NALC again.
Yes. You know, the whole idea, this whole perspective of I want to hear what other people have to say. I want to bring other people in. That is something that is so desperately needed within our union. I mean, you can see the opposite idea taken to its negative extreme in the way Brian Renfro handled our contract negotiations. He decided he knows better than everybody else. He's going to go it alone. And we saw how disastrous that was. And if he'd have opened up the process even a little bit, you know, like right now we're about to go into this big change with Article 8. And there are some really basic questions that people have about how this is going to be implemented. And I feel like if he had other people at the table, even just a regular, you know, informal A steward who has to deal with this stuff, some of this stuff might have been ironed out before the rollout. So I'm very heartened to hear that you actually want to get input and listen to others. That is a change that the top levels of our union need desperately. Oh, you're muted. How did that happen? Oh, there you go.
I don't want you to hear. You know, I might be yelling at some kids in the background, so I don't want it coming through.
Understood. Well, our listeners appreciate that. All right, no problem. So in your own branch, you know, you said you had to deal with this coming up, that you had to go through the gatekeeping. So eventually you obviously got the training that you needed. And now that you're in charge, that you're the branch president, what are you doing in your own branch to make sure that this culture changes?
So I took over as branch president last July.
Okay.
And immediately started doing some extra trainings with the stewards. And I held a members training.
Nice.
Inclusive for all members. And then October of last year, I invited Corey James down, John Cruz, Kimitra Lewis. I brought it all down. They did an Article 16 training.
Okay.
Obviously under the CLC banner. But for me, I'm looking to do another members training shortly, especially with these Article 8 changes.
Right.
But monthly, we have stewards meetings monthly, every month except December.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them, you know, what's going on the floor? What do you guys want to talk about? I mean, I have a list of things I can talk about. But I ask them because I want to hear what they may need. You know, maybe they don't call all the time and, you know, that's what the meeting is for. Sometimes we hear things that we don't normally hear from some of the stewards and, you know, that maybe gives us a chance to investigate. But going through any arbitration decisions that came in, step B decisions that come in, I know for me in the past, we would have to damn near beg the past president, mm-hmm. you know, about any step B decisions.
Yeah.
As soon as we get them, we disseminate them to our formal A's. We don't hide them. And at the stewards meetings, we bring them all out. We talk about them, have a discussion. And for me, that's huge because that maybe can open the doors for somebody who might just be a little quiet, but now they can start thinking of things, get those wheels turning. That's how I work. Sometimes I read an arbitration decision and I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. This makes some sense. Let me see how I can apply this in Milwaukee.
Right.
So that's the stuff that I'm moving forward and right now. And, you know, I mean, not easy, but the stuff we got to do.
Right. And again, I'm hearing from you that you want to hear from the people who are actually on the floor, the people who are having these experiences, so that you know where to prioritize your efforts. Because the whole idea behind leadership is that we're supposed to serve our members in the way that they need it. And you can't know what that is unless you're actually talking to them and actually listening to what they tell you. I got to tell you, Rob, this is a real breath of fresh air. So let me ask you, what about if a steward comes to you and they want, so actually you've already kind of touched on this, like if they want that access to step B decisions, then you're obviously willing to hand that out. What if they want additional training, you know, to increase their own skill level, like to go from an informal A to a formal A, something like that? How do you deal with that?
So I've already kind of, you know, kind of put this forward in my branch.
Okay.
You know, it was always, it used to be the good old boys club, and we all know about that pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
I came up, I started doing formals in 2015, but being the new person, I got what was considered the crappy cases. And then they had the more experienced people, they got to do whatever they wanted and stuff like that. And it's just like, well, how is anybody going to learn? How is anybody going to get that experience? So me and my vice president, we talked about it and we were like, nah, I mean, I would love for everybody to be able to handle formal A's in my branch.
Right.
Not saying that they got to do it all the time, but we want to give those people experience. We got a bunch of new stewards right now. We got to mentor them, take some time with them. But we have opened it up to many more people doing formal A's, you know, I mean, this isn't, some people treat, you know, hey, I'm a formal A, like it's a coveted position, but it's an important position.
Yeah,
you know, and it's that, position that's of a service. Last stance. Absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. if I don't do my job as a branch president and get somebody prepared for a formal A, and it leaves the hands and goes to step B and beyond, and it's not a good case file, that's on me.
Right.
So, and I don't want that. So, and go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The more people you can have trained up, who are good fighters, who are good advocates, the better your members are served, the stronger your branch will be.
Many hands make light work.
Yes.
My branch always ran on backlogs. Ever since I started, and I heard that was the history of the branch, which a lot of the bigger branches do. So mm-hmm. Your backlog, you got processing a lot of grievances. And, you know, I put my neck out there and I said, I guarantee you, if I'm ever in this position, it's never going to happen. We haven't ran on a backlog in almost a year since I took over. And that was spreading the work among a lot of people. Because there was at one point, I had 100 formulas myself, and it was just a daily grind. Mm-hmm. And you fall into the trap of maybe not taking the best, you know, not the best remedy,
right,
just to get something done.
Right. And what can we do to settle all of these?
Absolutely. And, right. And I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And of course, formulae is done on the post office's dime. And so there's no reason not to have these people trained up, these people who can contribute. So we take that now to your potential, your future position as the director of city delivery. How do you translate that to a national level where now you're in charge of making sure that people are getting trained up? Like, what do you do? You know, like in my own branch, I'm dealing with gatekeeping. My co-host Michael deals with it all the time. So what do we do? You know, can we come to you and be like, hey, can I get a copy of like the formulae training so that I can look at it? Like, what sort of steps do you have in mind to make this more inclusive?
Well, for starters, to me, you can never replace or replicate in-person training.
Of course.
However, I also understand that vast majority of the branches don't have the funds to, you know, send people. And that's where this whole concept comes in. Okay, well, formulae and beyond, maybe the branch can't afford it. But why would I disagree with sending the PowerPoint and maybe giving some guidance to the branch president to say, here's a great starter for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of leads into of why can't we make, you know, some video training videos.
Exactly.
Of saying, hey, this is how you do it. No, it's not a full-on formulae and beyond, but you know what? It's better than absolutely zero on what we have right now.
100%. You are exactly right. Like, let's say that the Zoom training or a video training is only 60% as effective as in-person training. 60% is still better than 0%, which is what we're getting now.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely frustrating. You know, and you know what? I don't know. Maybe there's just no time for it. Maybe they don't have enough people to create it. Maybe. But we've been saying this for years.
Right.
So time's up.
Yeah. And even if it's something as simple as, let's say you have an in-person formulae and beyond training and you just set up a tripod and record that training, you know, now that's there for future people. If they want to see it, yeah, they don't get to raise their hand. They don't get to take part in the class, but you've added essentially zero burden to the NALC, and you now make that training accessible to infinitely more people. These are achievable, you know, solutions.
Let me touch on the damn members portal.
Go for it.
Something that highly pisses me off is the withholding of arbitration decisions.
Yes.
You can only have it if you go to Formulae and Beyond or if you go to Step B training. Why? Why is that? There's people out there who do formulas whose branch can't send them.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who've been doing formulas for 20, 30 years who have never gone to that. You shouldn't have to be required to go to a particular training to get valuable information. You know, I've heard, well, you know, it's because they might use it in the case file. Okay, well, that's where we teach them.
Right.
Hey, this is persuasive, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, this is what we can do. This is an argument we can make. You know, it's just ridiculous to me, you know, that we as a union hold on to information. You know, I don't care. I want everybody to have it. Less yes. work for me.
You know, and this dearth of information that we have out there, that's how From A to Arbitration came to exist, is he saw that, you know, people aren't getting the training that they need. This training is, again, being gatekept. And so Corey started that podcast to get people that union training that, for whatever reason, we don't have access to. And it's the same with classes of mail, where there's no training for rank and file carriers either about how to do their job, not once they leave the carrier academy. And this is all stuff that the union could be providing, and it's not. And as somebody who makes this content, it's not that hard. It's not that expensive. It can be accomplished. The problem is there's no will to do so. And that's why I'm supporting you, Rob, and your run for Director of City Delivery, is that you actually have the will to get out there and reach the carriers who want to be reached.
I think we've not only dropped the ball, but we completely missed out on the fact that, you know, and you'll hear Corey say it, an educated workforce is a devastating workforce.
Yes.
I mean, that is a statement that is 100% accurate. You know, when I first became a steward, you know, it wasn't well received. What the hell is a CCA going to know? He doesn't know anything.
You know, like, the struggle. That's what you know.
I do. And I only became a steward because right away, immediately, as soon as I got in, it was my driver trainer took me to go meet my supervisor. And I knew this was not going to work out between us. I mean, she just would not look at me. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I used to be a steward for the machinist union.
Okay.
I worked on CNC machines, and I had a hell of a time there. And then I get to the postal service, and I already knew what to expect. I have family that work in the post office, and they're mail handlers. And I just was hoping that maybe it was just the mail handlers that had issues. And nope.
It's the whole post office.
And you know, I was told that if I don't work through my lunch, that I will absolutely get fired, not make it on probation. I asked the I kept telling the stewards and nothing was being done. And I said, hey, give me your contract. Why? Why do you want it? I want to read this. And I got it. And then I was like, wow, this is pretty thick. And yeah. That's all I did at night. I was like, I'm not messing around anymore. This is crap.
Even the whole answer to that, give me your contract, and they say, why do you need it? What a ludicrous question. If anybody wants to look at the contract that defines their employment, they should be able to.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't really, you know, even at that moment, I couldn't tell you if anybody told me about the NALC page or
right.
really anything else. I couldn't remember that. You know, but shortly after becoming steward, you know, all some people are like, hey, did they do the holiday scheduling correct? I'm like, I don't know. You've been here for 30 years. You're right.
But no, they don't.
But I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that holiday after holiday after holiday. And I'm like, how is this possible? Well, we have to find a way to engage them because we have our members who pay dues and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them. Thank you. I bless you for that. But I want active NALC members.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to become a steward. But imagine if a whole floor got 50, 60, 70 carriers that knew their shit.
That's
man,
right.
They would rise on up and take over the working floor. Like, you know, I've heard, oh, this is how it used to be. Okay, well, why can't we go back to that? Or, hey, if our steward's not on the ground, but we know we got five people saying, hey, management did this, this, and this. This is wrong. All right, here's our grievances.
That's right.
You know, and unfortunately right now it's you know, you'll have places like, well, I don't think we have any issues. We don't really have any grievances. And I walk in there and
there are issues, yes. Right. You just need that proactive grievance handler and exactly to your point, you need proactive members who know enough to know when grievances are happening.
Yeah, it was when the CLC came in last October, we only had two stewards show up. It was on a Sunday, but we had 65 members. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a couple people from Texas and a couple people from Illinois, which I open it up to anybody.
Okay.
That's what I do. But we had a lot of people who were just your rank and file, and they absolutely loved it. And now they call my office and they're just wanting to learn a little bit more. And that was just enough to get them and pique their interest.
Right. Yeah, that's it. You just have to make that spark, get them engaged, let them know that, hey, learning this stuff can actually benefit you. It can benefit your career. It can make your workday go more smoothly. There's something in it for carriers to learn these things.
You're absolutely right on that.
Yep. All right. So speaking of teaching carriers things, since I have the person who will soon be in charge of the Carrier Academy, I got a couple of things I need to bring to your attention. First of all, did you ever teach in the Carrier Academy?
No, my wife does though. She's an academy instructor.
Oh, so this will not be the first time you've been made aware of these issues. But this, to me, these are symbolic of the apathy that both management and the union have to keeping our carriers trained up. Like the slides that I used, the slides that your wife uses are so grossly out of date. I mean, not only do they still have the old brick scanners on them, but they also still have MSPs. And we haven't used MSPs in forever. And it's just one example of so many things in that academy that it's just an afterthought. And this is the footing on which we are putting our new carriers. And it really feels like from the top to the bottom, the ball is being dropped on setting people up for success.
Okay, so I've had nothing but issues with just the Carrier Academy in general.
Oh, do tell.
One of the biggest things out by me is we have this issue with I don't know if you have the problem, but we do in Milwaukee where you call the post office and nobody answers the phone.
Oh, 100%.
All right. So the new people are required to call their office to find out when they start. And right. They refuse to take their calls and they just treat them like absolute crap. So that's problem number one. The other thing is I didn't go through the Carrier Academy as it is today.
Yeah, right.
I had heard that we used to have one prior to when I started that was similar to how it is now. I had 2 days of orientation, and then I had 3 days up in a hot office just listening to people talk. So I didn't get to go through this. The concept is great. I like the concept of it.
Yeah. And it's necessary.
Absolutely. But I can't understand and fathom why we don't have updated PowerPoints, and I absolutely cannot stand, and I'll take it on the chin because I've told my Carrier Academy instructors this. Uh-huh. I cannot stand when you read the PowerPoint.
Yes.
Word for word.
Oh, dude.
There has been people sleeping.
Yes.
In the classes. Yeah. I hope. Well, I'm gonna say this, but I hope the guy actually doesn't listen. People have complained about one of our instructors because they're like, he's boring and he's monotone.
Right.
Me, I'm sorry, but I would kind of want to revamp the whole thing, and maybe my ideas are a little bit crazy. Okay. But you just have to roll with me on this.
I'm listening. So, I'm excited to hear.
I think the whole training material has to change a little bit. We have to find people that we have to find a way to engage them. And one of the things for me is we could have a carrier who's been a carrier for 30 years. He could know his job better than anybody else. But if he's not engaging, I don't want him to be who we're starting these people's careers off with. You know, absolutely. If you put somebody to sleep, it doesn't work. I actually told him I was asked to be an academy instructor. I can do it.
Right.
I can be engaging, but that wasn't really my thing. Because sometimes I'm just a little bit too opinionated for that. but I think the crazy thing that, and I've mentioned this before in LDDC in Milwaukee, and they thought I was crazy. I think we should send them off for 3 days of on the job training and then bring them for the actual academy portion. Because then they can at least correlate
right.
What the hell we're talking about.
I will tell you,
because Rob, you're just feeding them all this information, and it's like, I don't know what you mean by this. I don't know what A and K is and all this and all that.
Yep, that's exactly right. So as a longtime instructor myself, I would every once in a while get people in who had already spent a little bit of time at the post office, even if it was just a day or two that they were like running parcels or something before they got sent to the academy, and they picked up the material so much better because they had that context. And I know that there's a one day of shadow day, but even on shadow day, there's no criteria for who they get sent with on shadow day. So they could be with the curmudgeon-y old guy who's like, just sit back there and shut up, and they don't learn anything. And yeah, that's such a great example, because having that context when they come in makes the learning so much easier. And Rob, I think you are exactly right about that. That would be an enormous improvement.
I mean, everybody keeps complaining about it. And it's like, at what point is somebody going to say, okay, you know what? We need to sit down and actually talk to everybody or get some opinions from this. I mean, for me going to school, the classroom setting as it was not good. I'm not somebody who can sit there and I get bored.
Right.
Okay. But if it's more interactive, I'm more engaged.
Yep.
And I think that's how we have a lot of people right now, and especially you're bringing in the younger ones. And look, I'm 41, but I can tell you I have kids. Mm-hmm. And some of the crap they do and the way they think is beyond me. But these are the ones coming into the post office right now.
Right.
So we have to figure out a way to connect with them and get them to be able to understand what we're doing.
Yeah, you have to meet them where they are. And that's part of what being a good teacher is. I know in the academy, there are actually a lot of opportunities to get people up, to get them moving. Like one of the things that I would do is when we first start talking about, so we did our academy at our PNDC. And so when we would start talking about DPS, I'd take them outside, show them a DPS machine. Or when we're talking about parcels, you know, I take them to the parcel sorting area. Or when we talk about the classes of mail and what can and cannot go into the UBAM, I took them into our UBAM processing center and they get all this hands-on work. And these are things that shouldn't be exceptional that I do those. They should be incorporated right into the academy. In addition to like videos, real-world examples. Like I would augment my PowerPoint with my own laptop that had my own pictures on it that I took out on the route that would bring the material to life. This stuff is so achievable. The material can be brought to life. We just need the will to do it.
And that's sad that that's what you had to do, but guess what? I bet you it's extremely successful and more successful than what's currently going
on. Yeah, no question. And there are academy instructors all around the country who go rogue and improve the academy themselves. Like I got so frustrated with the slides that I eventually got onto a NALC Academy Instructor Facebook group and said, is it just me? Is it my academy that just hasn't gotten new slides? And they're like, no, everybody doesn't have them. And then somebody actually made their own updates to the PowerPoint and emailed that to me so that I could start using a more up-to-date PowerPoint. And it's like, it could, you know, maybe it took that carry an hour or two to do that. That's something that is, it's such an example of how achievable it is to make these improvements. There's just no will to do it. And Robin, you, I hear that will. And that's what has me excited about you being the director of city delivery.
Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, that you recognize it. I mean, is it a lofty goal? Yeah, absolutely. But
it's so really achievable. Not that
hard.
Right.
I mean, it's so easy to do.
Yeah. You just need to want to do it. Okay. So that pretty much covers the Carry Academy. We're obviously on the same page with that one. And we've already talked about how important it is to have that well-trained workforce where not just, you know, right now the NALC puts almost all of its training focus on stewards or branch officers. And I get it. They have to be able to file those grievances. But the rank and file carriers need education too. They need that love from their union. And that's a big part of what the director of city delivery does and will do. So again, I'm excited to have you in. So let me get to one more thing before I let you get out of here. And that is, what do you want to tell the potential voters out there? I know they can hear your passion. They can hear your dedication to education, but what message do you want to pass along that, about what you're going to bring to the office?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, for me, I'm all about, you know, I try to respect everybody. I respect everybody's opinions. It's about doing the right thing all the time. You know, so if it's okay to hold me accountable, if I say I'm going to do something and I don't get to it because I'm busy, just remind me. That's all you got to do. For me, I want to be accessible to everybody. You know, and I don't mean like giving everybody my personal cell phone number, but I want to be accessible. I mean, I have people now from just all over, you know, Region 7 who contact me for assistance on this or that, and I'm happy to help. Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, I got kids, a wife and family. My wife's in the post office too, but, you know, we have to break the mold from what's been going on. this gatekeeping has been going on for way too long. The good old boys club has been going on for way too long. You know, and I've heard even from my branch, like, well, why is it always the old guys? Well, you know, there may be a reason for that. It may be because nobody else wanted to step up. But all I see now is that we got people that are willing to step up and fight. You know, somebody can say, well, you've only been in the post office for 11 years and, you know, you recently just became branch president. And my answer to that is so.
Right.
You know, I mean, would you rather have somebody who wants to try to make a change or somebody that just, hey, look, I've been here for 35 years. And like I said, I don't know who's going to run against. Mm-hmm. And I've had conversations with Chris Jackson and, you know, he's called it his time and he's at that age and everything else. But it's time we got to stop relying on the older people. And that's where a lot of these bigger branches and even the smaller branches are in pain right now, is because the older people have just been the only ones doing it. And people have just said, well, because they've been here the longest, they must know the most, you know, they know the most. And
Rob, how many times do you hear from those old people, oh, this is the way we've always done it, as if that's the justification?
I flat out tell them in meetings, I know you guys are not going to be comfortable with what we're doing. I said, but I cannot stand, this is the way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid, simple things that I've seen just trying to clean up my branch. And it's like, well, I don't know why we've always done it. Here, I'll give you an instance. We have an audit committee. And I'm like, okay, they do the job of the trustees, but the trustees were elected by the branch to do their job.
Right.
But everybody said, well, we've had this. I literally just asked our executive board, when did this come to play? I don't know. Why the hell are we doing this?
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, for me locally, you know, some people are very uncomfortable sometimes with it. Look, I'm uncomfortable. I've had to change things from how I've seen my branch. We have to change national. We have to do something. You know, am I the answer? I'm going to say yes, but I'll leave that up to everybody else.
Right.
If you don't think so, vote how you think it's going to work. But I'm not going to sit here and make you unachievable promises. The things that we were talking about today, those are easy fixes.
Exactly.
And you know what? I wouldn't be shocked next year if something like that rolled out. Trust me, they listen to all these podcasts anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I hope they do it.
Right.
I hope so, because our members need this training. Our stewards need it, but our members need it. We have a lot more rank and file than we do stewards and officers.
Yep.
And maybe in the places that are struggling, maybe this will get some of these rank and file. Like, you know what? I feel confident enough. So that's what I think. I think a lot of people are just lacking the confidence.
That's right. Because education is empowering. And once you get that taste of that empowerment, now it's like, oh, what else can I do? And that's where we start.
Sky's the limit.
That's it. Rob, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, this was Rob Cozier, president of Branch 2 in Milwaukee, candidate for the Concerned Letter Carriers for the director of city delivery. Rob, thanks again for agreeing to come on, man. It has been heartwarming to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I mean, I'm down anytime. Anytime you want to have a conversation,
awesome.
I'm good.
Yeah, almost, I pretty much guaranteed I'm going to have you on again. So, all right.
Not a problem.
Cool. Thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you all next time. Thank you.